B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
So I miss one day and all of a sudden the great ideas come in. I was just informed. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I was just informed. Now, whose bright idea was to have Twitch come in and do the last 10 minutes of the show? You just had Twitch come in.
Yeah, just come on in.
It was an idea born out of wanting to get the hell out of here on Friday.
Well, I wouldn't just come on in and record. I mean, this is what we do anyway. So, I mean, you know.
And we had more viewers.
Instead of sitting around after the show trying to figure out, all right, what do we got? Man, just come on in, set the camera up, and let's get on through.
We had more viewers. How many viewers were bots, though, on this time?
Oh, I don't know.
Because before we know, they're all bots. All six of them, they're bots. And then this time around, how many were bots? Did we verify? Did you put our Twitch producer, Sean, on the air?
No.
Because sometimes he has like a behind the scenes role. Like, remember millions of years ago, that show Regis and Kathy Lee? They had that producer, Gelman.
Yeah.
They used to always yell for Gelman.
Yeah.
Hey, I gotta get Gelman. Right? Right?
So they used to always. Oh,
dude, you missed out. Let me tell you. If you were like
not
up
a Regis
with,
guy, are you?
Yeah,
Chad?
I wasn't a big Regis and Kathy Lee guy.
If you were up early, like with your mom or like your grandparents, and Regis was on, right? Man. It was a can't miss thing. But they brought the Gelman fella in all the time as a producer. And he would just sit there like, hey, Gelman, what do you think? And he'd just be like, I'm good. And then they would also talk to the producer like that. So Sean has become like our off-camera Gelman fella. So you bring him on to tell us how many bots are viewing the Twitch program. And then the people that aren't bots get offended and whatnot. But you're telling me that he came in, filmed the last 10 minutes of the program. You didn't have to do it post-show. And it was live and up and going.
It was awesome.
Yeah, we were out of here by like 9:58.
Why wasn't this an idea from our leaders? Was it because they wanted the lounge aspect of us sitting on the sofa?
I don't know.
These are the questions that I ask. These are the questions I ask. But good hustle out of you. Friday was fun, I take it?
Friday was fun.
Good day.
Good times. That was TJ McConnell.
TJ was awesome.
I expect nothing else. Nothing less.
Well, how was your speech?
Yeah. Let me tell you something about that little wedding speech on the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
So we speak at the rehearsal dinner. My buddy's dad was the best man the day of the wedding, and he also spoke at the rehearsal dinner, and he was phenomenal per usual. Mr. Bennett, shout out. It was good working with my wife on a speech was definitely adventurous, I will say. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'll toot my own horn. We crushed it. Yep, and she pretty much was awesome. The only thing that worried me is that she needed bullet points and kind of a script because it was our closest friends getting married, right? So she goes. You know, her friend from college, my friend since I was 10 years old, and she goes, hey, I need to see the bullet points we wrote up, like, right before we went up to talk. So now I'm thinking, great, she's going to be all structured. She's not going to be able to go off book. There's going to be no ad-libbing. I won't be able to be the fine jazz musician that I am when it comes to ad-libbing. And then we're really going to royally screw this up. Went off without a hitch.
Nice.
Good times. So our friends met when they were really drunk, and they started making out like sea otters, basically, at the bar we were at. And we told that beautiful story in front of their family and friends.
And now you've told it on air.
Tell it again. Ben and Audrey, congratulations. There you go. But no, it was lovely. It was lovely. But, you know, you say this time of year, a lot of people will come on the air and be like, well, you know, there's not much going around. So, hey, what's your favorite color? 610-632-097. You know, that type of sports radio, right? Your favorite color is what?
It's black.
It's black. Mine too. What do you know? You can't say that on this Monday because this weekend was jam packed with action. Are you aware of that? Jam packed with action. Almost everything you could want in one particular weekend, it happened. Involving all four of our major sports teams in Philadelphia. Let's see. The Phillies came out of the gate before the game on Friday. And Andy McPhail, the team president, came out and he was like sticking his chest out for his manager. He's putting his neck on the line. He's stretching it out at the guillotine and saying, I know Gabe Kapler's the guy for this job. He's not in trouble. He's not in hot water even a little bit. And you know what? That's a vote of confidence, is it not, Bob? That's a wonderful vote of confidence. Gabe Kapler's our guy. Trey, if you're a player your team's not doing well and the owner comes out or the president comes out and he goes, hey, this coach, he's our guy, right? You're a player. You're like, let me go play for this guy.
You would think.
Let me go run through a wall
for
this guy.
You would think.
Let me go attack the other team for this guy.
Yeah.
They got shut out. All right, so that wasn't exactly the way, didn't end exactly the way Andy McPhail had wanted it to, nor Gabe Kapler, nor probably the players, but maybe so. So you know what? Ah, to heck with that. Next time around, Saturday night, we're going to come out. You know what we're going to do? We're going to win one for the skipper, right? We're going to go out and do that for our skipper. And then they blew the save. Ah, so then yesterday, what do? They get the walk-off win. They salvage one game in a three-game series. And now things are going to look pretty bad as they welcome the Dodgers for four games. So things start still aren't looking up. And the other thing that bothered me with Andy McPhail, a bunch of things before he spoke, before the game on Friday, is when he came out and started talking about Odubel Herrera, and then also came out and talked about how if the season ended today, the Phillies were in the playoffs. That day was Friday, by the way.
Yeah.
And they lost. And then if the season ended that day, at the end of the day, then they weren't in the playoffs.
Right.
Things have not gone well for the Phillies over the last couple of days here. But yet they're in play. Yet they're in play. And they want to talk about how they're not one player away. They're not two players away. They're more than they're like a handful of players away, evidently. Well, Andy McPhail gave us a formula as to how to decide whether or not to be buyers or sellers. Tell me if you've ever heard this before in sports. All right? Trey, maybe even football. I don't know. But tell me if you've ever heard this in sports. If you feel you're close, you make a move to get better. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You with me so far?
Is
this complicated?
All right.
If you don't feel you're close, you don't make a move. Everybody got that? Do you want to write that one down?
Yeah.
Because he tried giving out this formula for us over the weekend that was very complex out of nowhere.
Uh-huh. Is he Confucius?
I was like, I just learned. Nope, I've known that since I was like 8 years old. Watched my first like red baseball game like for all innings.
He also said their success is determined by the players.
Whoa, dude! Okay,
it's
hold
real
us.
Deep.
Yeah, that's yeah.
See, Trey,
that's next level.
Everything we do
matters. Yeah. Jamie, see, now you're way over my head. Who was in the room with them? Like we determined who would be in the room with Doug Peterson.
Who would be in there with them?
Gabe?
Dave?
Actually, I think they'd probably be in Gabe's off. Yeah, because they probably...
Get down there and get a little mental stimulation going. Yes!
Because they're in Gabe's office.
Definitely be that guy.
They're in Gabe's office while it's happening.
That would get on that level and start just, you know, if you throw a stone in the pond, it could possibly cause ripples.
That was one of the things.
All right, let me hit that one more time. If you walk backwards, your balance might get better. I don't know.
No, thank you. What do we call that? Our clarity gong, whatever it is.
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Zen gong.
Yeah. So you'd have to figure they would be doing this in Gabe Kapler's office, so he would be there with his Einstein pictures on the wall.
Yes, with Einstein on the wall.
McPhail would be in the room. Klentak would be in the room. And I think in this case, as we had Jim Schwartz as the narc, I think Larry Bowen would be the narc in the room. Like, you guys done yet? So we can play some baseball. Like, I think that would be the case for Larry. But that came out from Andy McPhail, the vote of confidence. Also, the formula as to when to acquire talent before the deadline coming up in just about 2 weeks. And then also Odubel Herrera. Because I know some people were upset that he didn't just come out and say, oh, Odubel Herrera will never play for the Phillies again.
Right.
But he more or less said he won't play for the Phillies because he went and listed the amount of outfielders they have that they would rather have play over Odubel Herrera. Like, we'll get the spring training and see how it goes, that type of thing. But it's like, yeah, the depth chart, he's like 8 right now anyway. So he all but said it without saying it. I don't know if with the Players Association he can say that they're not going to have him anymore.
The Players Union is pretty strong.
But if you read between the lines.
He's done.
Nice piece. Not even nice to see you. Just bye, okay? Don't let the door hit you, as they say. So we'll go through all of what Andy McPhail had to say because he was the only guy that I didn't feel as if he had a positive and a negative. I felt like all of it was negative. Like, I feel like all of it did not go the way it should have. But then Ryan Howard came out and talked.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful. Came out and talked. He retired as a Philly. It was great to see. I enjoyed every second of that. But there was like a stop right there type of moment. Like, you went a little too far. Ryan Howard did that, and it was the only part that I went, all right, let's wrap this up for a second here. And that's when he went through this wonderful moment of telling the fans how great they were and how fair they were with the team and how wonderful they were as they were winning in all those years while he was here in Philadelphia, right? And then it was like, okay, hold on, stop right there. Because then he went about, hey, don't boo this team.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, Ryan, it's your day. All right, we love you. Wrap it up a little bit. And then the other one was Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta, Mr. Tight Pants.
Oh, him.
Because I even had a moment with Mr. Tight Pants himself that involved my mother. My mother was in town this weekend. She was in Philly. She lives in the suburbs.
Please don't tell me she was admiring his tight pants.
Nope, not even a little bit.
Okay.
How did he get those pants on with no panty line?
that was not the question. We're watching his post-game stuff, right? And he had just pitched a good five innings. I don't even want to call it a game. I know it's a game, technically, right? But he called it a good five innings. And he's out, and he's talking about how he's going to pitch through pain. And he's talking about how he's going to do all this for the team. Yeah. And he's going to try to do whatever he can to help this team win, to give them whatever he's got left, right? And he's not going to make the injury any worse by pitching. If he's going to pitch through pain, by golly, he's going to do it. And then it was like, oh, all right, I love this guy. It's just like Ryan Howard, right? He was talking about the fans. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you should have stopped right there. Because then he had the back and forth with Jim Salisbury, where he's basically playing the very famous I play and you don't card. Like, he can't compare the pain in his elbow, the bone spurs in his elbow, to anything else that any human can relate to?
No. Nope. You had to be a pitcher to know.
You only know
he's the only living beings on this planet that know what elbow pain feels like on any degree is a pitcher in baseball. Is that what I'm understanding here?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. You ever had bone spurs?
I have never had bone spurs.
They suck.
Okay. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I had them in my ankle, never in my elbow.
Can you describe?
I can only imagine how bad that hurts in your elbow.
Can you describe to an average Joe the pain level?
It's pretty high.
Okay. That's all they need to say. Yeah.
It hurts when I do this. It doesn't hurt when I do that. Yeah, it's not that hard to describe.
When the spur moves, you know, you have to get it out the joint so you can kind of, you know, but it sucks.
I was going, thank you, Trey.
Yeah.
Thank you for treating me as if I'm a human being.
Hey, no, that's what I am.
No way. We have that in common. Get that. Like, Jake Arrieta didn't realize that. How come you realize that, Jake Arrieta? How come Mr. Tight Pants doesn't realize that?
You know, that's just how he is.
So here's where Eleanor comes into play. By the way, she says, thanks again for the lava lamp. I'm not kidding. She thanked me for like a fourth time.
All right, good.
I was like, I'll pass that on. So she comes into town she's, you know, obviously my wife's 8 months pregnant now, and my mom came in to help us get settled in the house that we just moved into, right? So she took a break. She comes over. She watches some of the post-game stuff with me, and she says, as Mr. Tight Pants is talking, she goes, is that Tight Pants?
I go,
what? Yeah, that's Tight Pants right there. And then she just, before he says anything to Jim Salisbury, she just goes, I don't like him. And like, my mom's like a casual baseball fan, right? She's from Baltimore, so she's like more of an O's fan, right? Mm. So he's talking, and then he says the thing about, have you ever pitched before? And my mom goes, oh yeah, I don't like Mr. Tight Pants. Mr. Tight Pants is just annoying. He's got a tight head. Like, loosen up a little bit.
Wow, and she said he has a tight head?
I was like, damn, Eleanor! Like, spitting fire over Jake Arrieta.
Wow.
So like, you know when the mom doesn't like you, you know it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
So then let's involve the other two teams here, fellas. Here we got the we covered everything with the Phillies there. The other three teams, excuse me. Sixers, we have an insider. Did you know that? We have somebody on the inside with the Sixers.
Do we?
That is been watching Ben Simmons. Been working out one-on-one with Ben Simmons.
Toby?
And this story broke, what was it, Friday?
Uh-huh. Press conference day.
Tobias Harris gives the goods on everything that everyone wants to know about Ben Simmons. And this came on the heels of a report that Ben Simmons is not going to be playing for the Aussies. That he's not going to be playing for the Boomers.
Yeah.
And we all want to see the jump shot, right? We all want to see this thing that he's supposedly working on. Tobias Harris comes out, and we'll let you hear what Tobias had to say last week about Ben Simmons' jumper. That it's there, not only a jumper, he's even going beyond the bounds that Bob Cooney had set for him. He's hitting threes. Tobias Harris this summer has been picking Ben Simmons' three-point shot out of his eye because he's been jacking him. It's been amazing.
Twice.
Two of them. Yeah. He dared him. He dared him, Bob. And he goes, you know what? All right, I'll shoot it. And he hit two of them in his eye, just like that.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, like I said, we're not going to see him play for the Boomers as we were looking forward to.
So disappointing.
It is. Like, I care about the Aussies roster, unfortunately. Like, that's what it's come to now.
I really didn't care. I wanted to see Big Ben work the jumper.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all I wanted to see.
In order to see that, you had to see him play for the Boomers.
That's right. Now we just have to
wait
until the season rolls around. Uh-huh. And here we go.
All right, so speaking of the season rolling around, it's not even football season yet. It's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Training camp.
Yeah, you see my official Eagles gear right here?
You're ready to go.
Lane Johnson was down at offensive line masterminds camp.
Yeah, the masterminds camp.
Yeah, it seems like a cool thing.
He and Brandon Brooks, I believe, was down there as well.
Bubba and Forrest were down there. That is correct.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a self-imposed nickname by those two.
Yes, I didn't make it up.
Just to clarify, Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson consider themselves Forrest and Bubba. That is the self-imposed nickname by the two of them. It is. It's hilarious because you're like, that's about right.
Yeah.
So they were down there. They posted a picture on social media about it, so we'll talk about that. Oh, one thing I want to get into with you, Trey, is I know everyone's talking about Carson Wentz. Carson seems like he's going to be great. He's going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
Right?
It's awesome.
The running back.
All right, North Dakota kids.
Oh, no. Oh, man,
that was so
good. You going to sling it?
You going to sling it?
The running back situation is what's going to be interesting for me.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know where they're going. Like, Jordan Howard comes in here, and he should be, like, the good guy, right? The number one guy, right? But then you also have Corey Clement. You also have a guy you drafted in Miles Sanders. And then you also have Josh Adams still lingering, as well as Wendell Smallwood.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren Sproles is a wild card.
Yeah, like, that hasn't been talked about at all. I think a couple of weeks into camp, we'll figure out what's what with Darren Sproles. Because it's like, do coaches really need to see Darren Sproles right now?
Nope. I think
they know what he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, other than a workout or two, I don't think there's going to be a lot of news surrounding Darren Sproles going into camp. But maybe a week or two into it, that's where maybe he'll go somewhere. He'll wind up somewhere. But I want to talk about the running back situation with you today, Trey. I also want to get into this Flyers news over the weekend because Paul Holmgren is downshifted again in his career. This is now officially Chuck Fletcher's hockey team. We'll get into that as the show goes on today. But coming up, the big story was the fact that Tobias Harris gave a little bit of insight and information as to what's going to happen with Ben Simmons and his jump shot. This is what everyone's going to be talking about throughout the offseason. And Tobias Harris peeled the curtain back for us just a little bit. We'll get into that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour, by the way, brought to you by Pantherese and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention, contractors, get job site delivery of all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. So, I don't know, the Phillies really upset you the way they upset me over the weekend. We're talking about Andrew Fail and all that fun stuff. We're getting into that. We got Ben Simmons sound from Tobias Harris coming up in a minute here, talking about that jump shot. But I really feel as if the Phillies are in a situation now where, barring some type of miraculous 10-game winning streak, like, people are now just pissed off at him. Like, I always say the fan base here, and we've talked about this before, they're never apathetic in Philadelphia. Like, that's a beautiful thing about this fan base, a beautiful thing about doing this job, is that it's never just throwing your hands up, who cares type of thing. Because even if it's screw the Phillies, when's training camp? That means you still care about the Eagles. Like, it doesn't just go away like that, and it'll transition to something else. But right now, the Phillies are in a position where they could really just hurt themselves with what they're saying. Like, Andy McPhail coming out and giving a vote of confidence to Gabe Kapler after just an awful end to the unofficial first half of the season. And then they come out and lose 2 of 3 to the Nationals. One, a heartbreaking loss. The other, a shutout loss. And then they're able to get the walk-off win right before they host the Dodgers now for 4. So, are the Phillies in a situation now where, with whatever they're saying, they can really only hurt themselves? Because that's how it feels right now.
Yeah.
They're not doing themselves any favors.
And you know what else it is that I found myself doing this weekend? You get so ticked off at what's going on with them. I was really struggling with, all right, who am I ticked off at? I think it has to go to Klentak and McPhail now. That's what I came to the conclusion I came to after yesterday was it has to go there because I get ticked off that they have to pinch hit Andrew Knapp. Well, who am I ticked off at? Am I ticked off at Kapler? That's all he has on the bench. Why aren't they playing maybe Roman Quinn some more? You know, who do you get ticked off at? Well, Roman Quinn can't stay healthy, so I can see why the Kingery's going to be staying where he is, whatever. You know, you've had so many injuries. That has to bother you, but that's really nobody's fault. Like, where does your venom go? Mm. Where does it go?
Well, I know where it's gone for a lot of people, and that's at Andrew Knapp. Andrew Knapp might be the most insignificant hated player in the history of Philadelphia
sports.
I would
agree. He's hitting 155.
It's because he's not a major league player.
He's not even close to a major league player.
Yeah, first of all, I get that you mean to tell me you can't do better than Andrew Knapp.
Yes.
Like seriously.
Come on.
That's ridiculous. But I choose...
Brian Schneider looks like a godsend right now.
Like, I more so look at the big pieces of this, not to invoke a Ryan Howard nickname, but... I more so choose to look at the guys that are supposed to be performing for this team, but not. And I know the first thing people want to jump to is Rhys Hoskins on base percentage for how great a year he's having. It's over 400. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
But my four-hole hitter, I'm not looking at to just, like, work walks and get on base. Like, the bar is higher than not making outs. Like,
well, that's what Carlos Santana did last year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, the on-base percentage was always good.
I mean, all right, but you had your four-hitter, and sometimes he hit two. But a lot of times he hit four last year, and he was working walks, and it ticked everybody off.
Yeah.
Well, Rhys Hoskins, is he doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of?
So why aren't we as upset at Rhys Hoskins as we were with Carlos Santana? And I think part of the reason is because Klentak made a move he didn't need to make.
Right, exactly.
Which was move Rhys Hoskins off of first base. But anyway, that's an argument for last year. But more so for this year, Rhys Hoskins, you know what he's batting with runners in scoring position right now?
No, what? 212 off the top of my head.
212, it is a little bit better. 260.
Okay.
You're four-hole hitter.
Yeah.
Coming to the plate with guys in scoring position, he's hitting 260.
Yeah.
But the on-base percentage is great. Yeah, no, his job is to drive in runs, and he's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes to the plate with the guys on base, they're supposed to score with him at the plate, and that hasn't happened. I don't know what's happened to his power game because he's turned into, like, warning track power all of a sudden. In a time of the season where you want to start out of the gates quick in the second half of the year, he's unable to do that for you. Bryce Harper, same type of thing. Scott Kingery has gone into a little bit of a hole over the last three games.
Yeah.
Had a phenomenal diving grab in, Saturday night?
Friday night.
Saved
Pavetta's ass even more.
Exactly. But at the plate, he has left a lot to be desired over the last, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see him come around again. Guys that you've been able to lean on and depend on this season aren't guys that are really coming up big for you in the recent history here of the Phillies this year. And it's a big part as to why they're going in the hole. Then you have a guy that comes out, like Rhys Hoskins, for instance, again, and can't drive those runs home. Early on in the season, he was getting it done. Now they can't. And now, Michael Franco's starting to get hot. And he's a guy that you could have relied on a lot earlier in the season while you were starting to slide. But no, Gabe Kapler said, I can do better with Sean Rodriguez and Scott Kingery at third base. And Jay Bruce, who has been great for this lineup, has been a detriment in the field. Like, first off, I needed confirmation. I wasn't exactly certain that he was one of the slowest people I've ever seen in left field. And this is, the guy I can relate to, I know a lot of other people look at Greg Luzinski. My guy was Pat Burrell.
Oh, yeah. He was
left,
a tin man.
Like, watching him try to run around left field, it was just like,
to be a Philadelphia Phillies left fielder, you apparently have to suck at fielding.
The tortoise is what you gotta be.
Yeah.
And then Jay Bruce got doubled up on that double play ball that was hit to, like almost like shallow center field. And I was like, yeah, nope, he's the slowest guy in the playing with the Phillies right now.
Yep.
So he leaves a lot to be desired, especially on the defensive end of things. And you're just waiting for them to make that move to I don't know, push him through a little bit. Here's Logan Morrison. can we do a little bit better than this?
No.
Like, I understand you're thinking you're a bunch of moves away from really competing, but can we at least, I don't know, maybe do something to solidify a wild card spot? Not necessarily. I'm not talking about trading Alec Bohm or even Mickey Moniak. I'm just talking about doing something to inch you a little bit closer.
Cole Hamels last year, I talked about this with Andrew on Saturday. He was traded from three guys. The Cubs gave up three guys to the Rangers to get him. Two of those guys are no longer in baseball.
Mm.
So he went for a sack of potatoes.
Mm.
And you screwed up not getting him last year because he'd be doing dividends for you this year, and he'd probably be in a playoff spot a little more securely.
You probably would be able to sign him at the
end
of the
year. But to that point, you can get guys for not much.
Yeah. What happened to All In?
If I'm Bryce Harper and I hear McPhail's comments the other day, I'm going, what was all this one in a million talk in the offseason? You guys saying you would do it whatever it takes to make us compete. What happened to that?
Like, that's that question would go to Trey. Because you're the guy playing for a team that has made a commitment to winning, right? Mm-hmm. You don't go out and spend $330 million on a player and just go, yeah, you know what? Nah, I don't think we're close anyway. Like, what message is this to the team when you do see it? Now, look, I understand that Andrew Knapp takes a lot of criticism for two reasons. One, he's not that good. And two, he's the best you got to go up to the plate in a clutch situation in the ninth inning. The bottom of the ninth inning, Andrew Knapp's the guy you have to turn to.
Yeah.
All right. What is this telling the rest of... If you're playing for this team right now, Trey, what are you thinking?
I mean, you know what? It's leaning on whoever's in your locker room. You're just leaning on you guys. Like, look, we need you guys to step up. I mean, you know, even if you bring someone else in there, if these guys are underperforming, like, what is that going to do? Mm. You know, they need to step up. I mean, they can fix their own problems by stepping up and performing.
All right, so Michael Franco said he's going to step up and he's going to perform.
Uh-huh.
And he's done that. And I'm not just talking about the walk-off yesterday. Look, he had a bad play Saturday night in game two of this series, and he bobbled it, and it ended up hurting the Phils a little bit. But he had, what, three great plays before that at third base?
Mm-hmm.
He drove in some runs earlier in that game as well. I'm not going to put that on Michael Franco. This team could have done a lot better with him at third base than anybody else, but yet they chose to go in another direction there. That was a better lineup. You want to talk about the best lineup you can put on the field? It's always with Michael Franco, at least at third base, if not him at the plate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made this point at the time. Should you be relying on your eight-hole hitter as much as you were with Michael Franco anyway?
No, it should just be a luxury.
Yeah.
It should be a luxury that at the time he was the best eight-hole hitter in baseball. But I kind of go back to, I don't, you know, All In is what you were talking about earlier. I think they showed their cards that they weren't all in when they lost two-thirds of their starting outfield and did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Did nothing.
Well, Bruce, but yeah.
I mean, well, Jay Bruce was brought here to be a bat off the bench. Mm-hmm. He was forced into being, and you said it, Mark, he's not an everyday left fielder. Yeah. He's not. You know, he's done great since he's been here, but ideally, Kingery is playing four out of seven games a week at different positions because he's spelling guys, and Jay Bruce is coming off the bench. But when you lose McCutchen and Odubel Herrera for his whatever he was, but you did lose two-thirds of your starting outfield, and now you have two guys out there. You have two guys out there that are playing out of position. Like, Jay Bruce is not an everyday left fielder, and Scott Kingery certainly is an everyday center fielder. Mm. And you had a Roman Quinn, who is a speedster, who could be your leadoff guy, maybe kill two birds with one stone. Well, he gets hurt all the time, but you decided not to address that. So that's what I think feeds my, I don't think they were all in this year. I think they went for offense this year in the Harper, Realmuto, Segura, all that. And then this offseason, I don't know how, but whatever it is, they're going to go after pitching.
How did that that Dallas Keuchel fella do on Friday night for the Braves?
He's pretty good at throwing that thing.
That was seven innings pitch, one earned run.
So, again?
Yeah.
No way.
So to Bob's point about not being all in, clearly, because they were cowards when it came to that.
$13 million is what he went for,
yep,
right?
Yeah. 1 year. No risk involved outside financial money.
But hold on. We have a stupid amount of money.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
It's looking like stupid money now.
It looks pretty stupid when you're 13th in Major League Baseball in payroll.
That's not that.
Yeah, that's not good.
I believe we're a higher. We're not the 13th highest market, are
we?
No. What are we, like, fifth?
Mm.
We can do better than that.
Mm.
That is what's so disappointing, because what it told us throughout the entire offseason as Philadelphia fans, what it told us was that if you were going to spend $330 million on getting Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, whatever it would have been, if you were going to put that money in the middle of the table, it meant you were going to win now. And really what it means is maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year we'll address the other half of this team, the arms. We got the bats, hopefully. Now we're going to add the arms. Because that's what it really told you. I had the feeling, and I think most people did, that when you got Bryce Harper, the buzz was going to be back in the building. The buzz that Ryan Howard talked about was going to be back in the building in Philadelphia. That buzz he talked about yesterday at the podium in the middle of the field, I was hoping that would be back.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it doesn't feel like it's back. Right now it feels like, oh yeah, we're building to next year. Because right now we know we got some bats. And by the way, it's not like the lineup is putting up record numbers for runs here. Mm. But we got the bats. They'll come around. And now we just got to get the arms. Because the arms aren't developing like they hoped. I mean, Nick Pivetta isn't developing like we'd hoped he'd develop. Jake Arrieta hasn't gotten better. He's injured now. And he's trying to pitch through that. We'll get to that more in a second. But we also have a guy like Vince Velasquez, who hasn't developed. We have Zach Eflin, who has now become a streaky, inconsistent pitcher. Like, what we thought was going to be with this team was that they were going to be a team that was going to be able to put up runs, and they were going to be able to outslug other teams. And that hasn't happened now. Now, the other thing that I teased before the break here, and I want to make sure we get into this here, is I want to switch gears to basketball for a second here.
Quick, that makes me happy.
Sharp right turn.
Yeah, right? That does help.
Yeah, because it's pissing me off.
Yeah, like,
the Phillies are a real thorn in the side of my life right now.
Again, never apathetic. That's what I love about this city. Tobias Harris is the first person to come out with a report on Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Because now it's up in the air with a lot of people and a lot of people's minds. A lot of people's mind, oh, Ben Simmons can't do it, he won't do it, I need to see it to believe it. And yeah, I mean, we need to see it to believe it, sure. But right now, my confidence level in Ben Simmons actually coming back with a jump shot, with being comfortable with a mid-range game at least, my confidence level, scale 1 to 10, is at about an 8 right now.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Where's yours at?
I think he's going to come back with one. I would say 10.
You say perfect 10.
10. I think he's going to come back with a jumper. The thing, though, I really wanted him to go and play for this Australian team. I really was looking forward to that. I don't really like the reports coming back from other players. Because then now you put all of this pressure on him. And then it's this huge anticipation of the jumper. And if you already have a player that's a little gun shy and worried about what everybody thinks, then now you really are putting him under the microscope. And now if he could have played in the Australian League, then you get all of that out of the way before the season starts.
Yeah.
But now you just build up this huge amount of anticipation waiting on that first jumper.
He made 2 3-pointers in a pickup game against a teammate.
Mm.
And it's big news.
Mm. Huge.
I mean, it's the summer of the jumper.
Yeah.
It's the summer of the jumper. You know, yeah. Oh my God, he made a three. He was playing one-on-one against somebody, and he shot and made a three.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
All right.
This is what we're talking about?
Well, where's your confidence level, Bob? 1 to 10. Ten, he comes back with a jumper.
2.
You don't think he's going to come back with a jumper at all, Bobby?
He's not going to be a great jump shooter. He's never. I just don't see it. He's not going to be. Will he? Is my confidence level that he'll attempt more?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Will he be comfortable enough?
And that's all I'm looking at is that he'll attempt more.
Yes. Attempt more, he has to. He hardly attempted
anything. The question is, Bob.
The baseline is 0.
Yeah.
I hear you.
The same is 0. 10 is, oh my God, this guy's Larry Bird all of a sudden.
Oh, wait. No, I wouldn't go that far. No. I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, he's just going to fire it up there.
No, 10 is he's comfortable with shooting a jump shot.
Okay. Wait a minute, I'm going to drop down a little bit.
So from 10 to, I'm at 8, which I thought was high.
I'm going to stay at 10.
You stay 10. Look, they stick to your guns, Trey. Yeah, there you go.
Stick to it.
All right, Bob.
Right now, it hasn't changed since last year because why? He shot 2 jumpers against Tobias Harris.
Oh, no, it's not just 2.
Pickup game?
It's not just 2 threes, Bob. All right, Jamie, I'll ask you first here. All right, before we get to the cuts here, I'll ask you, what's your confidence level, 0 to 10, that Ben Simmons comes back with being comfortable with shooting a mid-range jump shot?
Like a 4.5.
Good God, man. Come on. I shift from the Phillies.
Well, wait, why is your confidence level so high?
Because I'm naive. That's why.
I'm not being a wise ass at all, but I'm wondering.
Because you know why, Bob? Because we have seen him, the both of us have seen him put the work in. We've seen him shoot jump shots before the game. We've seen him work out. He is in the gym right now trying to work on his game. Apparently, he doesn't want to participate with the Boomers so he can just concentrate on his NBA career, which is great if you're a Sixers fan, right? Overall. But we still want to see him play. We still want to see him incorporate in a game situation. And I think Tobias Harris did more here, and what you'll hear in a second, he did more here with... He should have. Like, in other words, he didn't have to say everything. You could file it under whenever a teammate speaks well of another player. You could file it under, well, what's he going to say?
Right.
But he kind of goes on more so than just the, well, what's he going to say? So here it is. Tobias Harris talking at the podium, what was this, Friday at the press conferences, about working out with Ben Simmons and his jump shot.
He's made big improvements on his game. His jump shot is looking really good. He has the confidence to shoot it. And I just kept telling him there, like, you know, even in these workouts where you're playing, have the confidence to shoot them and don't get discouraged if you miss. This is where you build that type of confidence.
I don't think he needed to go to the big improvements overall in his game, like, and then getting into the specifics here, because he gets even more specific about the shooting threes when he was playing with Ben Simmons.
But he's in the gym religiously every day, grinding and getting better. He's in great shape. Everybody was trying to figure out why I was guarding him at the three-point line. It was really because he hit two of them. I dared him to shoot two of them, he hit two in a row. So that's why I was there.
See, yeah, that doesn't help.
Why doesn't that help?
That doesn't help. I dared him. You have to dare him to shoot a three?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, come on. What are we working on then? What is he working on?
Shooting.
Okay, well, I think he's going to come back with the shot, but you have to dare him in a one-on-one?
Here's what bothers me.
Bobby. Come on, Bobby.
Yeah, he's playing at the foul. You're playing one-on-one. He's got the ball at the three-point line, and you're standing at the foul line?
Yeah.
Then he made a couple, so then I had to guard him, and people were saying, well, why are you guarding him?
Uh-huh.
Well, because he made two. He's got a jump shot!
There you go. I think we know. I think we now know that he has a jump shot, and we could all rest our case.
Not to put this under the same category. Didn't the same thing happen with Markelle Fultz? When he built up all of this anticipation of what he was going to do, and then he just kind of like clammed up.
Yeah, that's why I'm at a two. I got to see it.
Why you got to throw that shade?
I'm sorry.
On him? Why do you got to throw that shade?
I'm not throwing any shade.
Oh, you're throwing a bunch of shade. No, you just referenced Markelle Fultz.
I'm just saying that it was all this build up of anticipation of, oh my God, we can't wait to see it, and everybody's standing on the edge of their seat, please, 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 and then. I think he's going to have it.
Doing sound effects now?
I don't know.
Sound effects?
Well, you know, I do have some drops somewhere.
That I know. New York boobs. Yeah. Anyway, 610-632-0975. You know, a common thing that we like to say on this show got referenced over the weekend. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact. Did you catch it?
What's that?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it was something that somebody said.
Okay.
And we'll get to it in a second here on 97.5
Fanatic.
Whoa.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, coming up, a phrase we love using on this show is, it got a little bit of a shout out yesterday. But first, let's get our Twitter poll up here, brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for window shop, windownation.com. And don't forget about the Window Nation 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest. For 12 full months, call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Sam, I understand we're putting out the Twitter poll in just a second here. What are we going with here for the people?
Today we asked per Sixers insider Tobias Harris.
Ben. Sixers insider.
Yes.
First
yes.
person to put the report out, Bob.
Yep, he was.
those media people.
He wants to do when he's done with that basketball thing.
Those
investigative reporter Tobias Harris.
Those beat writers that are on the case, Tobias Harris beat him to the punch. So today he's our Sixers insider. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So our Sixers insider Tobias Harris has said that big improvements on his game for Ben Simmons. So how confident are you, we're asking the fans, that Ben Simmons will have a mid-range game next season?
Now, in case you missed it, before you give the options here, in case you missed it earlier, I was at an 8 for confidence level. 8 out of 10, right? We had Trey Thomas say that Ben was a 10. We had Bob Cooney at 2. We had Jamie Lynch at 4.5. So what do we leave it here? Because we didn't give numbers to the people, Sam. What did we give them?
So we have very confident or not confident.
All
opposite
right.
sides of the spectrum.
There we go.
We have, it's pretty close right now. 58% say not confident.
Not confident.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. Come on, people. Have
He's
some
He's going to shoot it.
Have some.
All you got to do is shoot it.
That's it.
Just let it rip.
If Tobias Harris is at the point right now, this early in the summer, to dare Ben Simmons to shoot, think about where he's going to be come October. He won't even be dared. He'll just be asked to do it. It's not going to be a dare where there's like an ultimatum or whatever. It's just going to be, hey, Ben, go shoot. And he's going to do it.
He's got to get used to doing it.
That's it. That's all we ask.
It's habit. It's a habit that he has to form.
Who made this decision with the Australian team?
His agent, Rich Paul.
Yeah. Rich. Oh, okay.
That he's going to devote the time to working on his individual game to help the Sixers, I believe was the phrasing.
I appreciate that.
So do I.
Yeah.
I just
still wanted to see him.
Yeah, I just wanted to see it in the game.
Yeah, and that's why I think playing for the Australian team would have helped with that. Gave him some live fire.
And it took a little pressure off because now not showing it in the FIBA World Cup, now we enter the season. If he shows you a little bit in the FIBA World Cup, you're feeling really good about him entering the season.
Absolutely.
Now you don't see it in the FIBA World Cup, and you have to wait and see. Now we're a little on eggshells.
If we were Aussies, we'd be upset about this.
Totally.
Because didn't he come out and make a big thing on social media?
Yeah.
About, I'm going to be playing for the Bamers.
Yep.
When he said that, just...
Yeah, if I was an Aussie, I'd be bummed.
Yeah, I'd be like, dude, what's
if up? I'm Matthew Dellavedova, I'm really ticked
see
off
that?
Right now. Yeah, Andrew Bogut, those guys got to be downright pissed.
Taking back my didgeridoo that I gave you.
Nice.
I have one, too.
Dude,
they're
hard to play.
Yeah, really? They are, yeah.
Look at you guys, cultured.
Yeah, well, you know. You can't box me in, man.
No,
you just never know. But now I had a swim instructor in Jacksonville that he played didgeridoo.
Was he an Aussie?
No.
He just picked it up.
He used it as a training technique with breathing.
All right.
Interesting.
I'll try it.
Because Jamie, you can speak on this.
Yeah, tough. You got to get like the deep bass air in there.
And you have to do it without, you can't. You have to inhale and breathe out. I don't know, man. He was a swimmer. And that's what he did.
Yeah, it's a tough instrument.
A didgeridoo is the thing that's like...
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's music, mate. Wow, you're really talented. How many lessons? Years of practice.
Well, it does take a while to focus on the breathing technique. It's not easy.
I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
I'll go play the bagpipes.
Yeah, but he made didgeridoos. He gave us one. Gift us one. Yeah, so I have one.
Can you play it in studio one time?
No.
All right. Then into that. Well, you know what? If you did, it might, I don't know, take the place of something we love saying on this program.
Oh, okay.
And it is a tribute to The Office. Now, when Chase Utley retired, they had an amazing catch. They fulfilled the dream of a fictitious character.
Okay.
The Mac. And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Played by Rob McElhenney, of course, Philadelphia's own Rob McElhenney. And they went on, they had the catch. It was a beautiful moment. It was a direct tie-in to the show.
Okay.
Chase Utley and Ryan Howard were both on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
They both did guest appearances.
That was That's a good awesome. Episode.
Wonderful episode. They get lost in the woods. They go to a banquet. Chase Utley and Ryan Howard are both upset. Anyway, so that's the episode. So now they retire Ryan Howard. Ryan Howard retires as a Philly. And Ryan Howard shares the same exact name as a guy on a show that we always reference on this program, The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Howard, played by BJ Novak, gets put up on Fanavision to address the masses. And here's the way they decided to play it at Citizens Bank Park yesterday, in case you missed it.
Hi. I heard that you're celebrating Ryan Howard today. Oh, that Ryan Howard. Oh. You know, though, it's basically the same thing, my Ryan Howard and the Ryan Howard you're there for. I mean, we both started our careers at the same time, both spent our entire careers in Pennsylvania, him in Philadelphia, me in Scranton, pretty similar towns. We're both big award winners, of course. That Ryan Howard won the Rookie of the Year and the MVP award, World Series ring, but I won the Dundee award one time, so that's pretty cool too. But look, whichever Ryan Howard you prefer, I think the important thing is that everyone can agree there is nothing more satisfying than celebrating all the time you've had with the big piece. That's what she said. Congratulations, Ryan Howard. Proud to share your name.
Yes!
That's what she said.
I was like, They got it! They got it! Doesn't it feel good? Oh, it was one I basked in it. And the other thing I basked in over the weekend with another reference we have on the show all the time, Matt Gelb of The Athletic actually tweeted out that through four innings of work, Aaron Nola had only thrown 69 pitches. Not too bad.
That's
not
bad at
too
all.
Bad.
That's nice.
Let's get Eric in Germantown up here on Simmons Show. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Aaron.
Oh, Aaron. What's up, man?
Yeah. No, I just... if we're talking about confidence in this team shooting the ball, I think you got to be pretty confident coming next year, especially his decision to not play in the Australian League. I mean, I hate to bring up his name, but when Markel had his shooting problems, it was like, oh, we need this whole summer to kind of focus on that. And I'm not saying his shot is completely broken, but the kind of attention he's putting into it gives me a lot of confidence in him coming up for this next week. Next year.
Yeah, Aaron. Hold on. Aaron, can I just... I'm going to leave you right there for just one second while I talk to my friend Trey. Trey, what the hell, man? You invoke Markel Fultz. Now Aaron's now Aaron's mind is corrupted by you invoking Markel Fultz. Aaron, are you wearing a Winnie the Pooh t-shirt right now? How about a Mickey Mouse t-shirt?
A Tribe Called Quest t-shiert, actually.
Oh, holla. All right, well...
what?
I don't know.
I thought we retired you from saying that.
No. I was not supposed to say throw in shade, but I already used that earlier today. But, so you don't have confidence, then, that Ben Simmons is going to come back with that jump shot, despite what Sixer insider Tobias Harris said?
No, I do. I 100% have confidence.
So it's not going to be like Markel Fultz?
No, I mean, the only reason I brought up Markel Fultz is because he's putting in the type of work that needs to be done, like a full off season, not like, oh, I got half an off season, now I'm going to play in the Australian League and practice my jump shot there.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.